The general outline of Acts is derived in Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The witness of the disciples, in keeping with this prediction, is seen in Jerusalem in chapters 1 through 7. It is seen in Judea and Samaria in chapters 8 and 9. And then it is seen to the uttermost part of the earth, starting in 9:32 and going through the end of Acts. Of course, it begins with Peter's preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, followed by the planting of the church in Antioch and the persecution by Herod and Herod's subsequent death. Saul's, or Paul's, missionary journey with Barnabas is recorded in chapters 13 and 14. Paul's first missionary journey, this time it is with Barnabas. In Acts 13 and 14, details are given concerning Saul's, or Paul's, first missionary trip. Saul and Barnabas were set apart by the Holy Spirit and commissioned by the church in Antioch of Syria. Accompanied by John Mark, they traveled from Antioch to the seaport of Seleucia and then sailed to Salamis in eastern Cyprus. They then traveled by land through Cyprus, preaching the gospel in the Jewish synagogues. Paul and Barnabas then sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John Mark left them and headed to Jerusalem. Undeterred, Paul and Barnabas traveled to Antioch in Pisidia, where the rulers of the synagogue invited them to give a word of exhortation to those who had gathered, which Paul did in chapter 13, verses 14 to 41. As they left the synagogue, the Gentiles urged Paul and Barnabas to proclaim the same things to them the next Saturday, that's the next Sabbath. Almost the whole town came to hear the word of God from Paul and Barnabas. But the opposition of the Jews led Paul and Barnabas to abandon them and turn to the Gentiles. The Lord blessed, and many Gentiles were saved. Jewish opposition eventually forced Paul and Barnabas to leave the region around Antioch. Their next step was Iconium, where they proclaimed the gospel for many days. Strong Jewish opposition in Iconium resulted in an attempt to stone them. So they fled to Lystra, where they were hailed as gods. Paul will subsequently be stoned and left for dead in Lystra. But the disciples will see Paul rise up and re-enter Lystra. As we view what goes on in Iconium, we see this in chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. After arriving in Iconium, Paul and Barnabas visited the Jewish synagogue in Iconium, where they proclaimed the gospel and saw many Jews and Gentiles saved, which resulted in opposition from the unbelieving Jews. In spite of the opposition, Paul and Barnabas stayed a long time in Iconium, boldly proclaiming the gospel and performing miracles to demonstrate the truth of their message. But the Jewish opposition, which divided the city, eventually resulted in an attempt to stone Paul and Barnabas. We read about their stay in Iconium in Acts 14, 1 through 5. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them. That ends the middle of a sentence which continues in verse 6, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. According to verse 1, Paul and Barnabas visited the Jewish synagogue in Iconium, where they proclaimed the gospel and saw many Jews and Gentiles saved. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great number both of the Jews and also of the Greeks believed. As you can see, "and" continues the thought of chapter 13 and transitions to a new thought. It came to pass in Iconium is it happened. It came about, or it occurred in Iconium, a town located in Phrygia. The content of "it" is that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. In the Greek text, this also functions as the subject of "came to pass," indicating what came to pass. They went both together into, where they refers to Paul and Barnabas, is they together entered. And what they entered was the synagogue of the Jews. It's the assembly or the gathering of the Jews. You see, Paul and Barnabas knew when and where to find Jews. "And so spake" is "and thus spoke," or "and in this manner spoke," that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed, indicates the result of Paul and Barnabas entering the synagogue and speaking. Now, in order for these people to get saved, it would indicate that they proclaimed the gospel message. That is so that, or with the result that, a great multitude is a great crowd of people. Now, how many people constitutes a great crowd? We always have between 2,000 and 3,000 in our services here in our auditorium. I hope you'll understand how I mean that. "They so spake," they thus spoke. There's a great multitude, and this great multitude or great crowd, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, refers to Jewish people and also to Gentile proselytes who had assembled that day in the synagogue. Now, these Jews and these Gentiles had no idea what they were going to get when they went to that service this time. I hope you have a better idea of what you're going to get when you come to our services. You're going to get Bible, because that's what we believe and that's what we teach. Believed indicates that they believed the gospel message that Paul and Barnabas were proclaiming and trusted Christ as their personal Savior. Believed And both of the Jews and also of the Greeks have been placed in positions of emphasis in the Greek text. It reads literally, "and spoke thus," with the result that believed both of the Jews and of the Greeks, a great crowd. According to verse 2, Paul and Barnabas eventually encountered opposition to the gospel in Iconium. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Bud is introducing a statement in mild contrast to verse 1. It is transitioning from the thought in verse 1, and it's understood in the sense of then or now. How much time elapsed between verses 1 and 2 is unknown. The unbelieving Jews refers to those Jews who rejected Christ as their Messiah. Stirred up suggests that they provoked others in the sense of aroused them. The Gentiles are unsaved non-Jews. They are proselytes who were stirred up by the unbelieving Jews. Made their minds evil affected suggests that these Gentiles were caused to think badly about the believers. It's understood in the sense of poisoned their minds. This is not an unusual tactic that Satan employs when people begin to hear the gospel. Their minds of some get poisoned so that they will not listen to what is being said. Minds refers to their souls, particularly to their inner feelings and emotions. Against the brethren is against the brothers and suggests against the believers, which would be against those who had received Christ as their Savior as the result of Paul and Barnabas' proclamation of the gospel. According to verse 3, Paul and Barnabas stayed a long time in Iconium, where they boldly proclaimed the gospel and performed miracles to demonstrate the truth of their message. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Long time is a considerable time whose length is not specified. Now, there are people who really believe that I preach a long time, but I don't regard it as a long time. It seems to me that time passes rather quickly. In fact, sometimes it's too quickly for the content I wish to convey to the people. But we don't know how long time is. How many weeks this went on, we have no way of knowing. Abode they means they stayed or they spent time. Speaking boldly is used in conjunction with abode, indicating manner, time, or perhaps a fact in addition to abode. It's been translated as showing manner, indicates how they stayed. It means speaking openly or fearlessly. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of abode. If showing time, it is understood in the sense of while they were speaking boldly or openly or fearlessly. If it's showing a fact in addition to abode, it's understood in the sense of and they spoke boldly, meaning openly or fearlessly. All three of those translations would be possible and would convey an accurate meaning of what's going on in the text. They spoke boldly in the Lord, is upon the Lord, and it indicates the basis on which they spoke boldly. You see, they were relying on Christ. And as we teach and preach the gospel message and the Bible, we speak boldly in the Lord also, telling the truth. Some people don't want to hear the truth, but we trust that all of you do, which gave testimony. I guess I should say who gave testimony, because it's referring to the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, is the one who was witnessing to the word of his grace. It speaks of Christ's bearing witness to the message regarding his grace in providing salvation for sinners from sin and its consequences. And it suggests that the Lord was bearing witness to the gospel message which was being boldly proclaimed by Paul and Barnabas. And you can rely on him also to be bearing witness as you witness to others. He uses you as he is witnessing. And granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands is, and to the one, again Christ, who was giving signs and wonders through their hands. The tense of both gave testimony and of granted indicates ongoing or repeated actions at the same time as the action of abode. Granted means was giving. It's Christ who was giving. And what he was giving were signs and wonders. Signs are distinguishing marks by which something is known, tokens or indications. And it's used in the New Testament of miracles. It's the same term used in John 20, 30 and 31, which, by the way, are the key verses for understanding the Gospel of John. John 20, 30 and 31 say, and many other signs, meaning miracles, truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Lots of miracles were done by Jesus, but not recorded in the Gospel of John. But seven were. But these, meaning these seven, are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, that is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. We who believe that Jesus is the Messiah, God the Son, who died on the cross and paid for our sins and rose again from the dead, believing this results in our having eternal life through his name, which represents himself. Wonders are things that astound because they go beyond human ability. Luke has used two synonyms of miracles, wonders and signs. And he's done this for emphasis. The same terminology is also used in a number of other passages in Acts. He gave signs and wonders to be done by their hands. It is Jesus who was doing these signs and wonders. And he's doing it through Paul and Barnabas and their hands. It was to be performed through their hands. And it indicates that Christ was actually doing these miracles through Paul and Barnabas. And the same thing is true for us when we teach the Bible. It is Christ, the Holy Spirit, speaking to people through the Word of God. It's the same thing when we are bearing witness regarding salvation. It is not us. We happen to be there being used by him, but it is Christ who is doing that. And it doesn't matter whether it's you or whether it's me or whether it's somebody else. When somebody is right with God and witnessing, it is Christ who's bearing witness to these people through him or her. I had a lot of people that Christ spoke through to me. I'm sure you have as well. According to verse 4, The Jewish opposition divided Iconium. This isn't unusual. In fact, it's normal. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part held with the apostles. The multitude of Hendersonville is divided. Part of Hendersonville is siding with those that are preaching the Bible, teaching the gospel accurately. And part of it is divided against them. So if you think you're going to be the most popular place in town, forget it. Satan will take care of that for you. You don't have to worry about it. All you have to do is live the way you're supposed to, and somebody's not going to like it. And that's too bad. Hopefully they'll get over it and get saved. Bud introduces a statement in mild contrast to the success of the gospel ministry in Iconium. It suggests that opposition to the gospel ministry was also growing. Once again, this is not unusual. Satan is always active, seeking to oppose whatever God wants. The multitude of the city, remember the city is Iconium, is the populace or the people or the population of the city was divided, suggests that the residents of Iconium were not united or were split regarding the message being proclaimed by Paul and Barnabas. Was divided has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text. It reads literally, but was divided. The multitude, meaning the populace, the people or the population of the city. And part held with the Jews and part with the apostles, where the Jews refers to the unsaved Jewish people in Iconium, and the apostles refers to Paul and Barnabas. It is, and some were with the Jews, and, or but, others were with the apostles. An apostle, remember, is someone who has been sent on a mission. Paul was an apostle in a sense that Barnabas was not an apostle. Paul had been sent on a mission by the Lord Jesus Christ directly. But Barnabas was not sent on a mission in the same way. However, both Paul and Barnabas were sent on a mission by the church of Antioch in Syria in accordance with the directions given by the Holy Spirit. And this is the sense in which they were both referred to as apostles. Opposition typically grows. Satan is active. In verse 5, opposition to the ministry of Paul and Barnabas will result in an attempt to stone them. If we can't get rid of their influence any other way, we can kill them. Verse 5 is used to describe fled in verse 6, indicating time. Its action occurred at the same time as the action of fled. It shows they didn't waste any time getting out of town, all right? And continues the thought, but takes it in a slightly different direction in the sense of now or then. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. When introduces this temporal clause, it may indicate action occurring at the same time as the action of fled in the next verse, or action occurring slightly before the action of fled in the sense of after, but you can believe that there wasn't a lot of time between this time when the assault was beginning to be made and they left town. There was an assault made, speaks of an attempt, an impulse, a tendency, or a strong desire arose, meaning it came about or it developed. Both of the Gentiles, they would be Jewish proselytes, and also of the Jews with their rulers, where they refers to the Jews, but may also refer to the Gentiles, is both by the Gentiles and also by the Jews with their rulers, meaning with their leaders or with their officials. To use them despitefully and to stone them indicates what both the Jews and Gentiles intended to do to Paul and Barnabas. To use them despitefully suggests to treat them in an insolent or spiteful manner, in the sense of to mistreat them, to scoff at them, or to insult them. But they weren't going to be content with insulting them, as and to stone them indicates. It indicates that the Gentiles and Jews' ultimate goal for Paul and Barnabas was to kill them, and may be understood in the sense of even, or in an emphatic sense as indeed or in fact. It clearly indicates that they did not desire merely to treat them badly so that they would go somewhere else, but to treat them very badly, up to and including murdering them, so that they would be rid of them forever. But, if you will recall, Satan is always in opposition, but Paul's going to get to Rome somehow. They can't kill him here and get away with it. Well, as we move into verses 6 and go through 20, we're only going to go through about verse, was it 14 today? I think so. No? I guess so. Whatever. Yes, we're going to go through 14. Why is that? Because I don't have time to keep you and finish. You won't want to stay any longer. There's something about that magic time of 12 o'clock. The closer it gets, the more you're hungry. And so I'll stop in a timely fashion for your benefit as well as for mine. My voice is giving me some trouble this morning. I really don't know what's going on. It wasn't giving me any trouble earlier, and yet it seems to be a little opposition that I'm experiencing. Opposition to their ministry results in Paul and Barnabas fleeing to Lystra and Derbe from Iconium, where they proclaimed the message of salvation. The healing of an impotent man in Lystra amazed the people, who then attributed deity to Paul and Barnabas, referring to Barnabas as Jupiter or Zeus, and Paul as Mercury or Hermes, and prepared to worship them with a sacrifice. With difficulty, Paul and Barnabas stopped the effort of the people to worship them. Subsequently, Paul was stoned, dragged outside of Lystra, and left for dead. But the disciples observed Paul rising up and re-entering Lystra. Here's what the text itself says. They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." and they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city." You think you have excitement in your life? How would you like to have been the Apostle Paul? It had been bad enough just to be Barnabas, who was with him and watching these things. In verse 6, opposition to the ministry of Paul and Barnabas results in their fleeing to Lystra and Derbe from Iconium. They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. They were aware of it. Where they refers to Paul and Barnabas, it is used in conjunction with fled. It's been translated as ending, or as indicating a fact in addition to fled, in the sense of they became aware of it, or they perceived it. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of fled. It may instead be understood as indicating time or cause, in the sense of when or because they became aware of it or perceived it. Undoubtedly, the Holy Spirit in some way, and we don't know exactly how, but he alerted Paul and Barnabas to the danger they faced and directed them to flee to Lystra and Derbe. They fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. Indicates that they left the area of Iconium to an area where they might be safe. Now, how fast did they walk? I don't know, but I'm sure they walked as fast as they could. You suppose they did a little running? Who knows what they did? They got out of there, didn't they? Their action indicates that it is not wrong to leave areas or situations of danger when circumstances warrant leaving. Lystra and Derbe were cities of Lycaonia. It's a region in Asia Minor, which is, of course, in Turkey, bounded by Cappadocia, Galatia, Phrygia, Pisidia, and Cilicia, whose major cities were Lystra, Derbe, and Iconium. Lystra was about 20 miles from Iconium. And unto the region that lieth about his, and unto the surrounding region, the region around, or the neighboring region, meaning the region surrounding Lystra and Derbe. In verse 7, Paul and Barnabas proclaimed the message of salvation in Lystra and Derbe. They didn't quit just because they had a little opposition. They continued to proclaim the gospel wherever they went. And there, suggests in Lystra and Derbe and the surrounding region, in addition to having preached the gospel in Antioch, Iconium, and elsewhere. There they preached the gospel. There, of course, is Paul and Barnabas. It means they were preaching. They were proclaiming the gospel. They didn't do it just one time. Its tense indicates continuing or repeated action in past time. Verses 8 through 10 record the healing of an impotent man in Lystra. How long were they in Lystra before this occurred? We're not told. Obviously, the Holy Spirit, who is the divine author of Scripture, knew that we did not need to know the answer to that question. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet. That's why he's sitting. Being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. How old was he? We don't know. Doesn't make any difference, does it? A man, and continues the thought of verse 7, there sat a certain man at Lystra. Is a certain man or some man in Lystra was sitting? What we know is that he was an adult male. Impotent in his feet indicates that his feet were unable to function normally. They were powerless. He is further described by being a cripple from his mother's womb. Being is simply who was. A cripple is simply crippled or lame. From his mother's womb suggests out of his mother's womb, which means that he was born a cripple. His feet had never worked properly. Probably his legs didn't either. Throughout his entire life, as who never had walked indicates. Verse 9 continues the account of the healing of the impotent man in Lystra. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. The same heard Paul speak. Is this one or he, meaning the crippled man, was hearing or was listening to Paul speaking? Who is Paul? Steadfastly beholding is looking intently at or staring at. Him refers to the crippled man in verse 8 who had never walked. Paul was staring at him, and perceiving indicates a second thing Paul was doing. Perceiving is used in conjunction with said in verse 10, indicating time or cause. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of said. Perceiving is understood in the sense of seeing, noticing, observing, recognizing, or understanding. If showing time, it is understood in the sense of after he perceived, saw, noticed, observed, recognized, or understood. But if showing cause, it is understood in the sense of because, since, inasmuch as, or in view of the fact that he perceived, saw, noticed, observed, recognized, or understood. Both of them are accurate. Both of them are possible translations. Faith. What Paul perceived is that he, meaning the crippled man, had faith to be healed. Faith is belief or trust. In addition, faith has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text. It reads literally that faith he has to be saved or to be delivered from being crippled. The tense of had indicates ongoing action in the present time. As he's watching Paul, he has faith. The word translated to be healed is an interesting word choice. It is not the word ordinarily translated healed. It is literally to be saved, and is the term used of being saved from sin and its consequences. In this context, it certainly may be understood in the sense of to be saved, meaning to be delivered or to be freed from his crippled condition. But why should it be limited to physical deliverance from being unable to walk? Why should it not also include being delivered from sin and its consequences? Did he just get healed so that he could now walk? Or did he get healed and his soul saved? My guess is both happened. Whichever happened first, I'm not sure, but that's a guess. It doesn't say that in the text. Verse 10 indicates that after the impotent man was healed, he leaped and walked. Can you imagine somebody who's never been able to walk, leaping and walking as an adult? Said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. Said means that Paul said, ordered, directed, or commanded with a loud voice, indicates how Paul said what he said. I'm sure everybody present heard him. Paul raised the intensity level of his voice as he instructed the crippled man, "Stand upright on thy feet." Stand is stand up, rise or get up, and its tense indicates that its action was to be undertaken at once. Upright is straight, on thy feet, where thy is your singular and refers to the crippled man is on your feet. And he leaped and walked. How much time elapsed from the time Paul told him to stand up that he leaped? My guess is only a matter of a second or two. And he, it refers to the crippled man, as he was leaping and walking around. He was excited. Wouldn't you be if you'd never been able to stand and walk in your life? He was excited and demonstrated that his healing was instantaneous and genuine. By leaping and walking with no problems of balance, of strength, or of having to learn to leap or to walk. Those of us that are on blood pressure medication know that when we stand up, we better not walk too quickly. We need to stay and be sure that we have our balance. If you're not on blood pressure medicine, that's fine. I hope you never have to go on it. But as you live with your spouse, you may very well have high blood pressure one of these days. Now, don't make any connection necessarily between living with your spouse and getting high blood pressure. Oh, yeah. I do have some fun now and then, don't I? And it's always at your expense. Did you notice that? Of course, you take advantage of me once in a while, too. Which is fine. You just go right ahead and continue doing that. I know you love me and you want God's best for me. It's interesting that Luke placed leaped before walked. It suggests perhaps that he sprang or was springing to his feet and then began walking. Regardless, it was quite a feat for an adult who had never previously been able to walk. I wonder if I had not been there. Well, yeah, hey, listen, let's just talk about it. You remember having any kind of surgery? And they get you out of bed. Do they let you walk on your own? No, they don't. They don't want you to fall down, hurt yourself, and sue the hospital. Besides, you need their help. You haven't been up for a while. But here's a man. I'm guessing he had nobody helping him. He was leaping and walking. In verse 11, the people, amazed at the healing of the impotent man, attributed deity to Paul and Barnabas. Oh, there goes Satan again. He's active. He's seeking to distort what has just occurred. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And continues the thought of the narrative. The people attributed deity to Paul and Barnabas. It's understood in the sense of now or then. When the people saw is used in conjunction with lifted up, indicating time or cause. The tense of saw indicates that his action occurred before the action of lifted up. It is literally the crowds or the populace upon seeing or having seen. It's been translated as indicating time, and it's understood in the sense of after the people saw. If showing cause, it would be understood in the sense of because the people saw. What the people saw was what Paul had done, which refers to the miracle of healing the lifelong cripple who was now able to leap and walk. They lifted up their voices. It's not just one or two people here, where they and their refer to the people who had witnessed the miracle in verse 10, as they raised their voices, which suggests they spoke loudly. Saying in the speech of Lycaonia is used in conjunction with lifted up, indicating effect in addition to lifted up. It's understood in the sense of, and they were saying in Lycaonian, or they were saying in the Lycaonian language. The tense of saying indicates that they were saying this repeatedly. What they were saying is, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men, by which they were attributing deity to Paul and Barnabas. That wasn't what they were supposed to be doing. But Satan was behind the scenes causing this. The gods were specifically believed to be Jupiter and Mercury. Are come down to us, where us refers to the people of Lycaonia, is descended to us, and it's been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. They've come down and they're still here. In the likeness of men, where men is the generic term for human beings, suggests in the form of human beings. It suggests that in the opinion of the Lycaonians, Jupiter and Mercury had assumed human forms. Although in the opinion of the Lycaonians, Paul and Barnabas were actually gods, they looked like human beings. Remember, Satan is always active in seeking to pervert whatever God does and people's understanding of it. In verse 12, the people in Lystra referred to Barnabas as Jupiter and to Paul as Mercury. They called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius because he was the chief speaker. And continues the thought of verse 11, they called Barnabas Jupiter, as they were calling Barnabas Zeus, who was the king of the Greek gods. Jupiter is the Roman name for Zeus. The tense of called indicates continuing or repeated action in past time. They were calling him this over and over again. And Paul Mercurius is, and Paul Hermes. Mercurius is the Roman name for Hermes. The reason they were calling Paul Mercurius or Hermes is because he, meaning Paul, was the chief speaker. The chief speaker was the leader of the speech, or the principal speaker. In verse 13, the people of Lystra prepared to worship Paul and Barnabas with a sacrifice. Can you imagine what's going through Paul's mind and Barnabas' mind at this point in time? The people of Lystra were preparing to offer to worship them with a sacrifice. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Then transitions to the next thought in the sense of and. The priest of Jupiter, or the priest of Zeus, which was before their city, is the one who was before, meaning in front of, at or just outside of their city. And it suggests that there was a temple of Zeus or an image of Zeus outside the entrance of their city, meaning outside of Lystra. Broad is used in conjunction with wood, indicating a fact in addition to wood. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of wood. Oxen and garlands unto the gates are bulls and wreaths or garlands of flowers to the gates. And would have done sacrifice with the people, was wishing to sacrifice together with the people, meaning with the crowds or with the populace. They were preparing to offer sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas as gods. Oh no. Now what are Paul and Barnabas going to do? Well, you're going to have to come back next week to find out. Or, if you wish, you may read ahead. I've already read that section for you earlier in the message if you were not sleeping at the time. We've seen that Jewish opposition forced Paul and Barnabas to leave the region around Antioch, after which they came to Iconium, where they proclaimed the gospel for many days. However, strong Jewish opposition resulted in an attempt to stone them. So once again they fled, this time to Lystra, where they were hailed as gods. Godly living and faithful witnessing will result in some believing the gospel and being saved. But it will also result in satanic opposition. Regardless of whatever opposition it may bring, we must keep on witnessing and telling people how they may be saved and live for the Lord. Will you face opposition? Of course you will. It's just the way it works. You live godly in Christ Jesus, you'll suffer persecution. It's just the way life is for the believer. But stay believing and stay living for the Lord regardless of what comes. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the opportunity to study this portion of thy word. Thank you that you have enabled us to study it and to understand it. Help us, our Father, to be faithful, to witness, to be faithful, to live a godly life, whether there's opposition or not. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.